Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is for Zchus, for Shalom and Bracha Tavar Refuah Shleima. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Pei Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Pei Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud by the Gemara. We had learned in our Mishnah that when a Shemeres Shavim, a woman who was awaiting Yibam, her husband passed away without children, and now she's a Shemeres Yavam. And we had learned in the Mishnah a discussion, who are her Yorshim? So begins the Gemara further to discuss the status of such a woman. Ibai was Shemeres Yavam Shabnesa, a Shemeres Yavam that was Nifter Mikavra. Who from the various Yorshim? For as we discussed, her family are her Yorshim, and her husband's family are Hayarshim. And the question is, who from these two groups are obligated to bury her? Do we say Yorshim Baal Kavrila, that the Yorshim of her husband, her husband's brothers, should be the ones to bury her? Because Hayarshim Ksuba, they are the ones that get the Ksuba. They won't have to pay her Ksuba after she passes away to her estate. Her family has to bury her. The Koyasi Nechasma Nechnasim Yatzimai, the Nechsei Melug that she brought into the marriage go to her family, and maybe that's why they should have the obligation to have to bury her. The Shita Mekubetzis points out that this discussion that we're having now, Gemara, would apply even if she became a Shemeres Yavim after Erisin, as we've discussed many times. Even if the couple in question only had Erisin, and then the husband dies without children, there's still an obligation for Yibum. And therefore, even though in such a situation there are no Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, but there are Nechsei Melug. And therefore, the same question that we're beginning to discuss would apply under such circumstances. However, Tosfos and the Maram Shif actually discusses that, so it would even be Rashi's opinion says, that this in discussion is only if there was Nesuin between this couple for which she now became a Shemeres Yavam. But if there wasn't even Nesuin, if there was only Erisin, he suggests the obligation would strictly be on her, would strictly be on her family. And the basis for this Gemara's question, the way the Rishonim discuss, is do we say that the reason Chazal said that a woman has to be buried, a wife has to be buried by her husband, is because, some Rishonim explained, because the Nedunya that her family provides obligates the husband to bury her. Some explain that the Ksuba is what obligates her, his entitlement, that he will not have to pay the Ksuba, is what obligates him to bury her. And since in this situation, her husband's family is going to be getting all of these assets, that's why they should have to bury her. But do we say, since she really wasn't married to this man, to the Yavam, so therefore he's not the person who has to bury her? Or as I saw other Rishonim point out, that maybe the halacha that Chazal said that a husband has to bury a wife was only said where there's only one Yorish. Under normal circumstances, when a wife passes away, her husband is her sole Yorish. But as we discussed at the beginning of our shiur, that is clearly not the case by Shemeres Yavam. And therefore, the halacha is that maybe then the husband doesn't have to pay for the burial. I did see that there's a machlokes Rishonim that say that the way to understand the Gemara's question is as follows. Everybody agrees that if the halacha will be that the Yorshe Habal, that the husband's Yorshim are the ones that have to bury her, everybody will agree that they have to do solely, they would have to do that by themselves, and that the and that the husband and that her yorshim do not have to participate in her burial. The question that some of these rishonim discuss is what's going to be the halacha when, what's going to be the halacha when, if we say that the yorshim ha'av have to bury her, does that mean that the yorshim ha'av bury her alone? Or there's some rishonim that suggest that there was never a havamina that the yorshei ha'av, that her family has to bury her by themselves. The Gemara's only discussion was that if the husband's yorshim bury her, they have to do so themselves. But if her relatives bury her, then the halacha is that both of them, her yorshim and her husband's yorshim, will participate together in her burial. So the Rishonim ask a question. We've learned many times in Amasechta that kvurasai tachs ksubasai, that the kvur is clearly connected to the ksuba. So if the kvur is connected to the ksuba, and we're learning that her husband's yorshim will not have to pay her ksuba, so therefore, certainly, they should be the ones that have to bury her. What is the question? So the simple pshat that the Mefarshim, that Chachma Shleima, say that when we use the word ksuba and kvura traveling together, it doesn't necessarily mean the payment of the ksuba. It could well mean the nechsei tzoyim barzel, which we said the nechsei tzoyim barzel belong with her family. Another discussion that they have is what's going to be the halacha if there are no nechsim belug. That the nechsim belug, which we said belongs to her family, this woman did not have any nechsim belug. Then we should say, well, her family are getting the nechsim belug, so therefore they should have to bury her. Is it a function of each particular case, some Rishonim suggest, or is it a function that we look, what are we going to do with all Shemeres Yavam? And now look at every case individually. Amar v'amar Toshma, the Tanya Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, Yosheh, Yorshim, Ksubasa. The people who get the Ksuba, which means her husband's Yorshim, are those that are Chayovim B'Ksurasoi, Achayiv in the Kfura. Amar Abaya, Afanan Namitanina. And we actually learned in a Braisa the same, Amon and the Zoinus, Amon is being supported by Nechsa Yisoyimim, and they keep any earnings. Since they're supporting her, they keep her earnings. They're not obligated to pay for her burial. Yorshik Subasa, however, continues the Braisa, that the Yorshik Subasa, Achayovim Bekvarasa, they are Chayiv. So even though, as many Rishonim point out, this Braisa is not speaking about a Shemeres Yavam. But why would we say that this price is coming to tell us the halacha that applies by Shemeres Yavam? Because the point being that in a case where you have a mona that has yorshim that are not getting ksuba, so therefore the yorshim who are getting the ksuba, they're chayv in the kfura. But that isn't the case by a regular amana who has children. So says the Gemara, which case is the case where you'll have an amana that has two yarshim, and therefore we will have a discussion who is the one that has to pay for the burial? So as I said, Taisu says that the raya is from the fact that the Braisa added these words, Yosheh, Yorshik, Subasa, Chayovim, Miksubasa. So we see from here that the Bryce is differentiating between a woman who has Yisaimim versus a woman who doesn't have Yisaimim. Who is the woman where there are no Yisaimim? That is a Shemeres Yavam. Amar Rava, says Rava, maybe the Yavam, who is the Yairish from her husband's side, say, Achani Yairish, yes, the Torah gave me the rights to Yarshim, my brother, but ishta any cover. I don't have any obligation to bury her. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, the Gemara's point, they say that the brother, the surviving brother, can make the following argument. He says, the Yerusha that I'm getting is not from my sister-in-law. The Zerusha that I'm getting is from my brother who passed away. So my obligations are towards my brother. My obligations are not to my sister-in-law from whom I receive nothing. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya disagrees and says that the Yavam is obligated to pay for the burial. We could have, we could say a Mamonavshach. We could say either way. Im Achav Yorish, if you're taking over the place of your brother, Yikvah Sishtai, as we've learned so many times in the Masechta, it is the obligation of the husband to pay for the burial of his wife. So if you are you, the Yavam, assuming the place of your brother, then you should have to bury his wife. Im Enokovis Ishtai, you're saying that you're not taking over his place, so then the halacha is that his estate should pay the ksuba. And if his estate will pay her estate, she's no longer alive. But if his estate, the deceased brother's estate, will pay the almanas, the shemeres yavim, then they won't indeed have to pay for the kfura. Amalei. So Rava says to Baya, hacha kamina. This is what I meant to say. Achani yorish, I yashin my brother. But as ishta any kaiver, vimishim ksuba, if you're going to tell me, well, since I'm getting the ksuba, that should obligate me because I don't have to pay the ksuba, and that should obligate me to have to pay for her burial, as long as the husband was alive, there is no obligation to pay a ksuba. Because if we look in the wording of a ksuba, the ksuba says, Shim tenasi l'acher, if you will marry someone else, Titli mashikosov l'chi, you'll be entitled to get what it says in the ksuba. As long as my brother was alive and they were married, the halacha certainly was that she can't marry someone else. And that's something that we discussed often in Masechta Yevamos, Masechta Ksubas, Medrash Ksuba. We look at the wording of the ksuba. And therefore, since the ksuba was never a document that was collectible on, so therefore, it's not considered that he got the ksuba, says the Gemara. Man islay, so Abaye says to Rava, so Abaye responds to Rava. Therefore, based on the wording of the ksuba, it's very clear that says Abaye to Rava that he should not have to pay for her burial. Amalei, so Rava says that to Abaye. Amalei, so Abaye says to Rava, Man shamed le disley medish ksuba, who's the one that follows the wording of the ksuba? Says the Marz Beis Shammai. And says, Vishaminan le Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai has an opinion throughout Shas. So even if you're going to want to use the wording of the ksuba, but there's another concept that Beis Shammai has set forth in Shas, that he says, that shtar oimel ligvois kegavidami, a person has a shtar, that means somebody owes someone else money, even though the time for the payment has not yet come, the halacha looks at the malva, who's the one that's supposed to, who has this account receivable, as if he's already has ceased, as the loiva's assets belong to him. And therefore here too, even though, as we just read, the words of the ksuba indicate that until she could get married to someone else, which hasn't happened, the ksuba is not due, but the fact that the ksuba was a document that the husband obligated himself to the wife, that, according to Basil, indicates that shtar and ha'goyim ligvois kegavi dami, and it's as if she already got the ksuba. And the fact that her estate won't get that actual ksuba money means that this brother-in-law is getting that money, and therefore he should have to pay for the kfura. The Torah Kedosha teaches us the parish of Asaita. The parish of Asaita teaches us that if a husband warned his wife not to seclude herself with a certain man, and then the wife disobeyed, and we have a question. We're not quite sure, did they have an adulterous relationship? Were they intimate during that time when they were secluded or not? And if we can't bring Adam to tell us what is the true situation, she's a Saita, and we know as the Torah in Parashas Nasai, we will, Mitzvah learn, Masechta Saita describes in great length that the halacha then is that she has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and we force her to drink, the Mayim Hamo'irim, to determine what is her, if she's innocent or guilty. So the question comes up, if she's found guilty, then she leaves her husband. If not, she could stay with her husband. During this period that she's a Saita, the halacha is asur l'bayil l'bayil. She can't have relations not with her husband nor with the man that she was accused with. The Tanan. So the Mishnah teaches us, Mesa b'lei mechloi sasu. What happens before the wife had the opportunity to drink the mayim ha'moirim that we could be able to determine her status? Her husband died. And the halacha is that only someone whose husband is alive could drink the mayim ha'moirim. If the husband's not alive, there is no mayim ha'moirim. B'sham ha'moirim netos ksuba. They will get the ksuba v'loi shaisos, but they won't be able to drink, because as we just said, you don't drink if the husband is no longer alive. Which really means that since drinking is not an option, because the husband's not alive, so then the halacha is she doesn't get a ksuba. So as we just said, so the Gemara stops to understand the wording of Beis Hillel. How could Beis Hillel have said that they may drink? Ask the Gemara, the pasuk clearly indicates the heavy ish as ishtay alakoyin amrachmana. He has to breathe there when she's drinking veleka. But rather, it's therefore says the Gemara, what did Beis Hillel mean to say? She not entitled to get a ksuba. Why is she not entitled to get a ksuba? Because the way most Rishonim learn is that there's a suffix, there's a question, is she entitled to the ksuba or not? And we have a rule throughout Shas that Hamoitz Mechaveroi, all of Araya. She has to be able to prove conclusively that she's entitled to the ksuba. If she's not able to prove it, as in this case, she loses the right to have to get a ksuba. Others explain, I saw that Flaw explains, that there's a special halacha that by a soita, since we just learned, that while a woman is a soita, she's os l'baal l'baal. So what that means, says that Flaw, that when it comes to a soita, os a sofik kavadai, that a woman that we still have a question what her status is treated like a woman who had an adulterous relationship and is not entitled to the ksuba. Says the Gemara, "B'sham I'm not the ksuba v'lo shaisus." But we need to understand. Ask the Gemara, "B'shamai's opinion for my why is she entitled to get a ksuba? Sveikahu sofik zanoi sofik lo zanoi. We're not sure if she had this relationship or not, and how can we say ka'asi sofik or ma'is mdei vaday? As we just explained, she can't conclusively prove that she's entitled to the ksuba. So since she can't conclusively prove that she's entitled to the ksuba, so we should say, Hamoitz Mechaveri, Olav Araya, says the Gemara, the reason Beis Shammai doesn't have that problem, when is there a halacha that you can't collect on a document? If there's a question, if you're entitled to collect. But if there's no question, because we're saying shtar oimel ligvas kegavi dami, that means she already has her hands on that money. Since she has her hands, so to speak, on that money, that's why it's not considered a suffix, because she's muhsik in that money. Ask the Gemara, but didn't we say that Beis Shammai's opinion is that we look at the wording of the ksuba? Vabina, and if we look, ask the Gemara, at the wording of the ksuba says, "Kshenosil acher titli mashakoslchi." When you could get married, you could get what it says in the ksuba. And this woman who's still only a ksaita veleka, Amar of Ashi, Yovim nami kachadami, says Rav Ashi a bichidush. At the moment that the husband dies, yes, she's a shemeres yovim. And yes, we've discussed many times that a shemeres yavim may not marry any man other than her yavim, or at least until she has chalitza. But says the Gemara, we look at the yavim not as a continuation of the first husband, but we look at him as an acher. And therefore, the wording of the ksuba indicates that when she can marry someone else, she's entitled to the ksuba. She can marry someone else. Who's the someone else? The Yavam. So I saw that the Rishonim point out that it doesn't mean that she, the wording of the ksuba is really being followed. What the Torah mean, what the ksuba means to say, says the Rivash, is the Gemara saying that the moment her husband dies, that moment she is entitled to the ksuba. That moment she's entitled to the ksuba. Shalch le Rav Labaya, biyad Rav Shmai bar Zera. How could you say, or mean nitnik ksuba legus mechayim? How could we say that while they're still married, that while she's already entitled to the ksuba? But Tanya, the Rabbi Abba Omer, Shalti Sumcha, Roitzu Shimka Benichse Aviv. Somebody, Yavam, yarshined his brother's assets, and he also did Yibam in the Yavama. Because actually, as we're going to be discussing, the halacha is the brother who does Yibam is the brother who is the Yoirish of all of the deceased brother's assets. And there's a very interesting halacha. Normally the halacha is every married Jewish man has on him the lien of the ksuba. But even though every married Jewish man has upon himself the lien of the ksuba, that does not stop him from being able to sell property. And even though the property is mortgaged to the ksuba, it doesn't halachically stop him from being able to sell those properties. However, a yavam is different. And when a yavam, even though he might have yashin, he might have inherited a very decent amount of assets from his brother by doing yibam, it doesn't change the halacha that he could. It doesn't change the halacha that he can't sell any assets. So says the Gemara, Sha'alti Asumchus. Haroitzu Shimcha B'nechsei Achiv. So we have this situation where the brother who did Yibam wants to be able to sell off those assets. Ketzeroi, so what should he do? Im Kain Hu. So the Kain obviously does not have the option of divorcing her and remarrying her, and then they'll be considered a full-fledged marriage. So what he should do is Yasasu Devifais. He should try to get her to give him permission to put away on the side the amount that the ksuba is worth and be able to sell the rest of the assets. Im Yisrael Hu, but if the Yavam is a Yisrael, where there is no problem of Machs Grusha Asai, where he could divorce her and take her back, Megarash Meget, he should divorce her and Yachser, and then remarry her, and we look at that marriage as a new marriage. So the Flaw asks, why don't we say by the Yisrael that instead of going back and forth that he could divorce her and remarry her, why don't he just say that we should do the same with her as we do with a Kayin and get her to agree? So the flaw says that there is no question that this advice of Yefaisa is not l'chatchila. So when we have no other option, that's what we do. But when Eishes Kohen, but we have the option by Eishes Yisrael, that's we shouldn't do Yefaisa. The question is, when he writes this new ksuba, what is the halacha? As we've been learning and will learn, that when a yavam marries his yavama, he takes ownership, he takes his ksuba obligation really are on the assets of the first husband. So the question here he divorced her, and he's remarrying her. We're even going to have a Gemara Mitzvah if that is why that's permitted. But the question is, why isn't he just, is that obligation now going to be considered a new obligation that exists between a husband and a wife? Or is it going to be considered just going back to the original obligation that comes from the husband's assets? Now, but what the Gemara is saying is, since now they're husband and wife, so now they're regular husband and wife, which we said, a couple that's married not through a Yiba marriage, even though the husband has a lien on his property for the ksuba, it doesn't prevent them from being able to sell assets. Ask the Gemara, v'isakadatach, nitne ksuba ligvis mechayim, if we're going to learn that a ksuba is already collectible, so why don't we just say, then the Yachle Shiak Suba, let the brother, the Yavam, designate the amount that's owed to the Ksuba, and v'hashah Lisbon, and then he should be able to sell. So our Gemara just said that Rav Ashi said Yovam nami ka'achadami, that the Yovam is not is considered ka'achar. The question is, and I saw the Rav Yosef Engel in his Sefer Asvin Daraisa discusses the question of Yovam ka'achar or not is a very fundamental question in Hilchis Yibam. The question is, how does the halacha look at this? Does the halacha look at it as that the Yovam's marriage is a new marriage? It's a mandated marriage, but it's a new marriage? Or is it considered a continuation? And when we say, or is it considered a new marriage, or is it considered a continuation? And if we say Yovam ka'achar, then it's considered an entirely new marriage. Ask the Gemara. Ultameich. Ask them, according to what you, Rava, are saying, we could have asked this question that from our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, on that Peyam Abayis, the Mishnah taught us, Yovam should not tell his Yevimta, I'm designating the amount that I owe to you for the Ksuba, I'm designated. So if we're going to say that is not that if you hold shtar oimer ligvois that kagavi dami. So on the Mishnah we could have asked this question. Answers the Gemara, hasam etzatayv kamashmalan. Yes, the Mishnah says Rava could have given that advice, but the Mishnah didn't want to give that advice because it's not very practical advice. The reason why it's not considered very practical advice is because, let's say he designates an asset, and then something happens to the asset, he's going to have to write a new ksuba. In order to avoid that, that's not why the halacha says we should do that. Dilay teimahachi. If we're going to not explain the Mishnah that way, but we're going to say that the Mishnah is saying that you have to do this, sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Diktani. B'kein lo yayma adam l'ishtay. A regular couple, the husband should not say to the wife, "Harei ksubasach menachas lachal shochen, your ksuba is on the table." El kol mechasa achron l'ksubas ishtay. But ask the Gemara, "Ibay lezvunei hachanami delay bay mizben." Does that mean that as a regular couple, the husband has no right to sell assets? We've been learning that he certainly does. Elo, it's a type of kamash malon. The Mishnah is, even though he's saying that he's allowed to, the halacha is that it shouldn't be done. And that's why Hachanami in the Reisha, when we're talking about a Yavam and a Yavama, it's also Eitzatayv Kamash Malan. But that's why the Mishnah is not a proof. Elder Rav Abba, the questioner of Abba, that says we have to go through this entire procedure, Kasha, if we hold Shtar Oy Melugris Kagava. Says the Gemara, the Rav Abba Namali Kasha. Indeed, he could have done so. He could have just designated assets. But the reason the Braisa doesn't like that is because Mishum Eva. When a wife sees that a husband designates assets for Ksuba, what she thinks is that he has he's thinking of divorcing her. And that poisons the marriage. And as I sort of was trying to point out, if the husband will divorce her and remarry her, so she knows it's a halachic requirement. She knows it's a halachic requirement. This couple is getting along very well. In fact, she's willing to take the divorce and get remarried just to help her husband. But when her husband designates assets and those assets are on the table all the time, so it's going to cause a strain in the marriage because she's always going to think that it's easy for my husband to divorce her. He doesn't have to look into his assets. He already has those assets available and designated. Says Baruch Gavra the Nafla Yivama. Pemedisa. There was an individual that his Yivama felt in for Yibum in Pemedisa. By Achval Mifsla Begitimenei. So his brothers knew, as we've been discussing throughout our shir, that the brother who does Yibum will get the entire Yerusha. And one of the other brothers did not want to see that to happen, that one brother should get the entire Yerusha. So what he did was, he remembered a Gemara we learned in Masechta Yevamos, that the Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that even though a get is really not an option that the Torah offers by a Yevama, but it does accomplish that if a get was given to the Yevama, she's no longer a candidate for Yibam. So he wanted to give his sister-in-law a get. She should no longer be a candidate for Yibam. And then all the brothers will equally yarshin the dead brother's estate. Amalei, so the brother, the oldest brother who wanted to do Yibam, say, Ma datach, why do you want to do this, as we just explained? Mishim nichsi, you want to be able to get your hands on some of the assets. Let me do Yibam, and you have nothing to worry about. We will divide the assets. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Kivin Amar Rabbanan. Since, and they brought this question to Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef said that a woman who is waiting for Yibam, Loy Lisbon, the Yavam has no rights to sell her assets. Afagav the Zovin, and even if he'll sell it, Loy Havas Vina Zvini, the Tanan, as the Brisa teaches us, Mishmeis Venech, Shemeris Yavam. If somebody passes away and now we have a surviving Shemeris Yavam, Venech Nechasim, Mei Mana, Abishik Svasa Ena Elamana, even though the brother who died left a huge estate, and the ksuba is a fraction of that estate, La Yimkar, Shakan Chasav Achraim Lekaisav Ksubasa. He has no right to sell any of that estate because it's all mortgaged to the ksuba. And therefore, we see that you can't sell those assets. And therefore, he said, with the story with his Yavam, the halach is that deal they wanted to make, it was going to be like they're selling assets to each other. So we see from here that a mechira can't be done. Amalei, kolhecha da amar rabbanon like Lisbon. Is that true? That what Chazal said is stale should not be done. Is the halacha actually the afagav the zoven lohav zvina zvina that even if they do sell, the sale is invalid? But now we go back to a mishnah that we discussed in our perek. When the mishnah says in the previous perek, when the mishnah said that if a woman got assets when she was in Arusa, the halach is Beshamayim Timka, Beshamayim allows those assets to be sold. Beshamayim Loi Timka, Beshamayim says they should not be sold. And Eilav Eilav Moedim, everybody's in agreement, Shemach V'nosna, that even though they shouldn't have been sold, the sale is valid. So don't we say the same here, that even though he shouldn't be doing deals with his Yevamas, with these assets, it should be fine. Says the Gemara, Shalchu L'Kamed Rav Chanina B'Papi, this question was sent to Rapapi, Vishalcha Rabbi Yosef, and the answer was given by Rabbi Yosef. Amar Abaya, author of Chanina Rapapi, is that considered as if he's wearing a piece of jewelry? Why didn't he explain? Says the Gemara, so Shalcha Kamed Rabbi Yumi Bered Rabbi Nachumi, and Shalcha Kedabaya, he agreed with Abaya that the sale is valid. And he says, if you want to give me an explanation, why not? Shalchali, please send it to me. So says the Gemara, Nafik Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef brought a raya that any sale is totally invalid. If somebody's saying that Reuven says that his brother owes him money, Umeis, and his brother died, V'hiniach, and his brother who died without children, died before he could pay back the loan, and he died without children, he left over Shemeres Yavam. L'yama, the brother who owes money to his brother's estate, should not make the claim, however, in the Yerush, I'm going to do Yibam. And so we keep on repeating, since he's going to do Yibam, he's going to be now the owner of all of his brother's assets. Hechzakti. So now, it's as if I owe money to myself. We make him pay his debt, and they should buy property with it, and they make it into Nixim Malug, and the halacha is that he will eat the Paris. So we see that you can't do any deals with assets that you yashin as a Yavam. Amal Abaya, Dilma, maybe the Brisa says that we should do so is a tavale of delay, that we give him this advice, but not that he's obligated to do so. Maybe it's just good advice that we give him. Amalei Tana Tana Metzian. You said, look at the words of the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't say it's just good advice. The Braisa says that you have to do so. And if you try to avoid doing so, we undo whatever he tried to do. And you're saying that it's only good advice, that Amr the Tava Avdalei, that it's only going to be considered good advice, that it's not just good advice, it's absolutely halachically mandated. This Braisa was never taught in the Beis Medrash, and we can't bring a raya from it to our discussion. My Tama, why is this Braisa considered non-authoritative? If we'll say because all of these obligations were metatlin, and metatlin ksuba le'mishtabdi. You can't bring a raya from Hilchas Ksuba from metatli. Why can't you bring a raya from Hilchas Ksuba to metatlin? Because the halacha, at least the strict letter of the law, is the metatlin are never mishubed to the Ksuba. But who says, maybe this braisa is following the opinion of a mayor that holds metatlin mishabdi to Ksuba. Ela mishum da amala at loy ba'al dvarim didiat. The reason it's not correct is because the Yavam could tell the Yavama, I didn't borrow money from you. I borrowed money from my brother. Dilma, that says the Mara, maybe this price is following the opinion of Rab Nosson, with famous Shibudid Rab Nosson. That's not Rab Nosson, I'm Rab Nain, that if Noish b'chaveroi, mana, b'chaver b'chaveroi, if I owe somebody money, and he owes somebody else money, that we give it directly to the first and third people, and that's why this Tana fouls the opinion of Rav Nosson, and since he fouls the opinion of Rav Nosson, all of the deceased brother's assets belong to the wife, because the deceased brother's assets are all meshubet to her ksuba, and that a Yavam took all those assets and owe it. El says, Marlo, Ashkan Tama, the Machmer Trey Chomer B'Ksuba. We don't have a Tana who's so Machmer that all of Hilchas Ksuba are only somewhat the Rabbanan, even if we'll hold that the basic Ksuba is a Chiv the Rabbanan, but it's not all of the Halachas of the Rabbanan. And now we're saying two Chomers. The Halach is that Metatlin are obligated to the Ksuba, and we're also saying that the woman is considered as if she owns those debts. Ella, Rameya or Ramasan. To combine Rameya and Ramasan's chumras is too much. Now we understand where Abaya said when we learned this Braisa, Dama Eina Mishnah, that the Braisa is incorrect. And we weren't sure why. Now we understand why. So we learned now the famous din of Shibudid Ramasan. But there's a very fundamental question that the Tzoyis discusses. What does that mean? The Shibudid Reb Nosson says that Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon owes Levi money. Reuven should pay directly to Levi. What does that mean? Does that mean that if Reuven owes money, says the Tzoyis, not only could Shimon come to collect from him money that he's owed, but Levi is also somebody could come collect? Or does the halacha want say that the money is owed only to Levi? What is the nafkamina, says the Tzoyis? The nafkamina will be, could Shimon be meichel that obligation? Or could Levi be meichel that obligation? What do I mean? If we say that Shibudid Reb Nosson teaches us that the money is owed directly from Reuven to Levi now, and Shimon is out of the picture, then the halacha will be that Shimon can't be meichel that obligation, but Levi can be meichel that obligation. If we're saying, however, that, says the Tzoyis, that both Shimon and Levi are considered people to whom Reuven owes the money, then Shimon can't be meichel that obligation without Levi's consent, and Levi can't be meichel that obligation without Shimon's consent. So we've been learning that Rabbi Yosef says that if the Yavam sells property from the brother who dies the sale is invalid. Says the Agos Martchi, that where is the basis for this halacha? He says the basis for this halacha is based on what the Gemara Masechta Temura, a very famous sugya Masechta Temura, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, teaches us, Kol Milsad Amar Rachmana Lo Yisaved, anything that the Torah says we shouldn't do, Yovid, if you try to do it, Lo Mehani, the halacha says, is totally, has no legal bearing. So since, as we've been learning, that the Yovam is not supposed to sell assets from the dead brother's estate, so it says that Gos Martchi, even though it's only a din, the Rabbanon, we apply the rule of Kamil Sadam Rahman Loy Sav Yovid Loy Mahani even to Rabbanon the good cases as well. So there's an interesting Yerushalmi in Masechet Beya. The Yerushalmi discusses that the halacha is, of course, we know, the one is not allowed to do business on Shabbos. What is going to be the halacha if somebody did a business deal on Shabbos? Will the sale be valid or not? Says the Yerushalmi that yes, that even though, of course, the sale should not have taken place, the halacha is that the sale is valid. Ask the Taz if the Agos Martcha just told us that Kamil Sadam Rachman Aloy Savid Loy Avid Loy Mahani, so a sale on Shabbos is not supposed to take place. So since the sale is not supposed to take place, why is it considered a valid sale? Answers the Taz, there are two types of Milsad Amar Rachman Aloy Savid. One is where the actual transaction is halachically forbidden, like in our Gemara. Chazal said that the Yovam should not sell any assets of that his brother left over, certainly not any karka. Shabbos sale, there's nothing wrong with the sale. It's the time, it's an external issue that disqualifies the sale. And since it's an external issue, then the halacha is that we could say that even though Kol Mislam Rahman al-Savid, Yovid al-Mahani, here it will be a valid sale. It's interesting to note that many Rishonim disagree. And they say that since if the sale is only Osama Drabonin, like in our Gemara, we don't say, Kol Milsad Amar Rachman Aloy Savad, Ilav Aloy Mahani. So if that's the case, why did Reb Yosef in our Gemara say that the sale is invalid? So they explain that this was a special rule that Chazal applied to Yovam, and the Chazal have a right to apply that rule because Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And therefore they said in this particular situation, it should be invalid. It doesn't necessarily have bearing on other halachic situations.